No, they're not in the program.
Okay. Hey, everybody, it's Larry Goins. How is everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Great.
Doing great, Larry.
Good.
Excellent.
Good.
Excellent. Sounds like we got a lot of people on the line tonight. If you'd like, feel free to say your name and where you're from, if you would like to.
John Jackson, Baltimore, Maryland.
Awesome.
Derek from Toledo, Ohio.
Kim and Ron from Sutter, California.
Max from Pensacola, Florida.
Oh, how are you doing, Pensacola?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. How was the rain out there?
Rain all day.
Why don't you ship some to California? We're high and dry.
I wish I could.
We need it out in California.
You got it.
Charles Gaffney, South Carolina.
Excellent.
Cool. Cheryl from Arizona.
Well, we got a lot of people on the line tonight. Some of you are getting some feedback. You might have to mute your line. I think that's the car 6. If you want to mute your line, I believe, if I can look that up. But if you think it's you, mute your line. And there you have it. So, who wants to jump in with a question?
I have a question, Larry.
Good.
If you don't have a business address, and you bring yellow letters for your return address, would you recommend using your home address?
We can't hear, Larry. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you because you're getting a lot of feedback. You have a big echo.
Is it better now?
I still hear the echo too. Feed. It's like a delay right after your voice.
Okay, what about now?
That's a little better. Let's try it again.
I was asking. Yeah, I hear the echo. I know what to do. Okay.
It might be a volume. You can turn down a volume, or if you have it on speakerphone, that might be it, too.
Okay, is this better?
Okay, let's try that.
Is better?
Well, I still hear the echo, but go ahead and ask your question. Let me see if I can hear you.
I was asking, if you don't have a business mailing address and you're doing your yellow letters, would you recommend using your home address or a P.O. box address?
I would definitely use a P.O. box address.
Also,
if you want to give the appearance of using a home address that you are a small mom-and-pop organization, you could use something like a mailbox, etc., FedEx, or UPS-type address. And that way it would be a street address, but it would still appear as a residence. More of this than your yellow left.
Okay, now I can hardly hear you.
Okay.
You sound real low.
Sorry.
Okay.
Is that any better?
A little. Maybe it's my phone. I don't know.
Sorry about that. But did that answer your question?
Oh, okay. No, I can hear you better now.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said I can hear you better. What were you saying?
What you can do is you can either use a P.O. box or you can get a mailing address at a place like FedEx or UPS. A mailbox, etc. type place where you're able to use their address, and you can make it either look like a residence by putting your name in the address or a business address by putting your company name in the address as opposed to a P.O. box.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does.
Good.
I understand.
So,
hey, Larry, I have a question. On the HUD Home Store page, they have some different symbols like they have a down arrow with the dollar signs, which I assume means reduced price. But they have another
right.
symbol with just a dollar sign with like a little blue man next to it. What is that?
That's a bonus commission that he does. If you
say that again,
your mouth over it, it will tell you what it
is. Yeah, I can't hear your answer. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to hang up myself and call in again to see if it is my phone, okay? So,
okay.
Guys, just bear with me just a minute. I'm going to hang up and call right back in, okay?
Everybody still there?
We're here.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Better.
Yep. Yep.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Bad
yeah. I'm here.
It
sounds like someone's getting some bad feedback. It sounds like.
Yeah, it's a buzzing sound.
Yeah, I've got a home.
Yeah, somebody's on speakerphone.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 1-2-3. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this
Hello?
Time. Please try your call again later.
Yes.
Announcement
Hello?
1,
yes.
switch
okay.
1-2-3.
I was trying to see if
three.
People were hanging up.
Is everyone else hearing their Verizon announcement? Is everyone else
yeah.
hearing that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hearing that.
Too. The humming's gone on my end. I don't hear the humming like I did.
Yeah, it's clear now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That person probably hung up.
That yeah, that's the sound it makes, you know, when someone
he
comes back on.
Back.
Okay, good.
Yeah, is that better?
Yes.
That's a lot better.
Maybe
yes.
it was me then. Maybe it was me.
Larry?
Yes, sir.
This is John Jackson, Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, sir.
My question is about counteroffers. When you have made a offer, you get a counter, you counter back, and now it's getting to the point where I need to make a decision on how high I will go as far as purchasing a property.
Right.
I wanted to know whether it's best to look at the rental returns in the area or look at the comparable homes in the area. And
well,
in particular, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it ultimately depends on what you're planning to do with the property as to how
mm-hmm.
you analyze it.
Okay.
What are you planning
I'm
on doing with it?
Well, I wanted to sell or finance it, but it looks like this area is a rental area.
Excuse me a second. There's somebody listening to a webinar in the background. If you don't mind, if you could mute your phone by hitting *6, that way we won't hear the webinar in the background, if you don't mind. So you're wanting to know what's the how to tell how much you can pay for this property. And you said, I believe it's a HUD property, correct?
No, it's not a HUD property. I'm not sure who owns the property. I went through a realtor to find it.
Oh, okay. So it's listed on the MLS.
Okay, right. Now, what I'm finding is that the rentals in the area is anywhere from about $950 to about $1,300. Now, home prices are scarce in terms of buying, and they are typically around $30 to $35.
Okay. $30 to $35 is the price, but the rents yeah. are $950 to $1,300.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and what has the realtor told you that you could sell or finance it for as far as a price, and how much could you get down?
I have not ventured that far yet.
Okay. That's a very important question that you want to find out. if you're going to sell or finance the property, you want to talk to local realtors, at least a couple of them, and say, hey, my goal here is to sell or finance this. If I sell or finance this property, what do you think I could sell it for, and how much could I get down? And you want to ask two or three, especially if it's your first one.
Okay, I have two realtors I plan to contact tomorrow with that question.
Excellent, excellent. And how much are they asking for the property, and where are you at on the price?
They counted with 30, and I counted with 10. So I started at 8, started at 20%.
And what's it listed at?
It was listed at initially 40.
40, okay. And tell me about the house. How many bedrooms and baths?
Three bedrooms, two baths, about 1,500 and 28 square feet. It's an old house.
Is it livable?
It appears, from what we've seen, it's livable.
Oh, good. That's good. That's good. All right, so, yeah, and you're at 8, and they're at 30, right?
We at 10 now, they're at 30. We counted with 10.
Does it need any work?
I'm sure that there will be some work. I haven't, the pictures we've seen didn't have dates on it, so I'm not sure if that's quite up to date.
Well, I would ask the realtor, you know, the listing agent, if it needs any work. And you obviously want to have, if you do get it under contract, you want to send somebody out to take pictures of it, you know, and look at it. You know, unless it's close by, you could go do that. So,
okay, the realtor has agreed to do that.
Okay,
and
good.
I would only have to just ask him when to do it.
That's great. That's great. So you can go take all those pictures, take a look at it, or get the pictures from the realtor, and then also from the realtor, you will be able to find out how much you could sell it for with seller financing and how much you can get down.
Okay.
And for example, if you're in it for 30, you want to be able to sell it for around 70.
Okay.
If you're in it for 25, you want to be able to sell it for 60. My quick and easy rule of thumb is I want to sell it for two times what I'm in it for plus 10,000.
Okay.
Unless it's a filthy riches deal and I'm only paying 5 or 10,000, then I'm going to try to sell it for 3 to 6 times what I paid.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Excellent.
Okay,
well, let me know if you need any more help with it, okay?
Okay. Let me ask you this.
If
it's a better rental situation, would that be a good option?
If it's a better rental situation?
Yes.
Well, then what would you do with the house?
I would prepare to rent it if that's what I needed to do with it.
Well, if you could get $950 to $1,300 per month, and you would be in it, you know, somewhere under 30, because they've already counted at 30. So that's not a bad rate of return right there if you want to keep it as a rental as well.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Who else has a question?
Got a question,
Larry?
About hoods, Larry.
Okay.
This is Charles in South Carolina. I've noticed that there doesn't seem to be as many HUD properties on the market right now, at least in my area. So I'm just wondering, are you currently bidding on HUDs right now? And if so, what sort of exit strategy are you employing right now?
Okay, that's a really good question. And the answer is I got 3 HUDs in the last 7 days, if that gives you an idea. So actually got one today, $21,000. It was listed for I want to say it was listed for 40, but it's either 40 or in the 30s, and we picked it up for 21, and it's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, double-wide, 2,000 square feet, and we're going to owner finance it. And that's
so
I'm
your owner
financed
my house right now. Are you doing any? You doing any fix and flip? The reason I'm asking is I picked up one this week, and I originally was looking at the Filthy Richest deals, but none of the ones I was seeing were in livable conditions, and I just stumbled across one. Horrible on this thing is about 115. It was listed for 100. I washed it. I got it for 43 this week,
that's
or
awesome.
Last week rather.
Nice.
Yeah, and going to rehab this one. Needs some work, not much. After speaking to some other investors in the area, what scared everyone off, it has mold. But it's going to cost about $10,000 to remediate the mold and repair the problem.
Uh-huh.
So I'm only going to have about $10,000 in that. So and it's going to be a flip. I was going to retail this one. So
I
didn't know.
Spread.
Yeah. With something like that, I just couldn't turn my back on it.
That's great.
Yeah.
What area is it in?
It's over in Gaffney.
Oh, in Gaffney?
Over in Gaffney, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
I've sold
I know the
a good
Gaffney
bit over
market
here.
Really well.
Yeah.
So my market is,
I live in Gaffney, but my market is the Spartanburg and Cherokee County. I get over into Greenville some. I'm an agent over here. I have access to those MLSs.
That's awesome. That's really mm-hmm. good. Yeah, I do a lot. I used to do a lot in Gaffney, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, yeah, that's a good market. That's awesome. That's a good fix and flip deal right there.
Mm-hmm. But have you noticed that it seems like the amount of HUDs, just the volume isn't there like it used to be. Are you noticing that in the area?
Absolutely. That's true. I mean, there used to be 200 or 300 HUD houses a day in North Carolina
yeah.
and about the same in South Carolina. But it's not mm-hmm. like that anymore.
No, they're really getting pickings are getting slim. But you're still going after these for the Filthy Richest type deals, so you're able to find those in the area.
Well, I'm still buying HUD houses for maybe not necessarily Filthy Riches, but for a little higher price seller finance deals. We've got about 18 deals on the board right now.
Wow.
And right now in processing in various stages. And
mm-hmm.
of those 18, I would say probably 7 of them are HUDs.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, maybe 6
okay.
or 7, I don't know. But we're still doing HUDs, and but we're also doing REOs, you know, bank-owned properties,
mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, individually owned properties, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That answers my question. Thanks.
Oh, I hope that helped.
Yes, it did. Thanks.
Good. You're very welcome. Yes, there was a lady that had a okay.
Put your phone on.
Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Kim from California.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
Hello. On either of the two examples from the last two gentlemen that talked about their examples, I have forgotten already. What are some of the options if we don't have the money that you would support the Inner Circle students on either one of the two gentlemen that spoke previously? Like if he didn't have his own $40,000 to purchase that mobile home and the additional $10,000, or the gentleman that has it in for $10,000 and it might be $30,000 for him to get that home. What are some of the options that being an Inner Circle student do we have in working with you to secure financing?
Well, I don't think it's so much as an option as being an Inner Circle student because I'll fund Filthy Riches deals
mm-hmm.
for, you know, Filthy Riches students or Inner Circle students or whatever. But there's a lot of different ways to fund the deals. And, you know, and I think, Kim, what you could probably do, and I'll be glad to run through some off the top of my head, but, you know, run through your notes from when you were at the office and do it through a lot of different things to fund deals. Now, if you're
okay,
seller
right.
financing the deal, you could use your note buyer to fund
right.
your deal. In other words, you're going to find the note buyer in advance, and you're going to have them fund your deal and table it. In other words, you get under contract to buy it, and then you find the buyer, and then you have your note buyer lined up, all done at the same closing, back to back to
right.
back.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and that's one way if you're seller financing. If you're going to rent it out, then you would obviously have the money or have access to private money or be able to borrow the money. He mentioned that he's going to spend it out, so he's probably going to take it in cash and then either refinance or something else. And if you're going to do a fixed split in the Carolinas, he could contact Wendy or Billy over at CarolinaHardMoney.com.
Right.
And
okay, right.
They do hard money in the Carolinas, but they also do transaction funding nationwide.
Nationwide,
so,
okay.
Yeah, they do that nationwide. So those would be several options right there. And then there's other, you know, peer-to-peer lending sites like Prosper.com, LendingClub.com, Kickstarter, and just a lot of different other sources as well.
Right. Okay, that did jog my memory. Thank you.
Okay, great. No problem at all.
Thanks.
How are you guys getting along?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. We finally got our little house rehabbed and put it on the market, and I think we sold it the first day. A lady was looking for this particular kind of home for her father, and she loves the home. She's taking her father to see it this weekend.
That is great.
It's
That's
adorable.
Great.
So we're very, very, very thankful that we got that rehabbed and fixed, and it's beautiful. So
good, good. I'm glad about that, and I hope
and
you're able to
priced
get
it right
rolling
because we got
your,
first. Pardon me.
I was just going to say, and I hope you were able to get things rolling with the tenant you were telling me about, as well as the commercial property with the church that we talked about.
Right. We've been well. You know, you brought it up at our at the Inner Circle. You've brought it up several times that I've been in meetings with you or seminars with you, and that's this new TRID, T-R-I-D. And we went to speak to a loan officer on behalf of those friends that you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this particular loan officer had five or six clients that were qualified prior to October 1st. And now that the new TRID has been activated, they are no longer qualified. So this is perfect timing for seller financing. And that's what everybody should be working on is the seller financing.
Okay.
Because it's getting harder and harder for people to find loans.
So let me get this straight, because I want to try to help you here if I can. Because are you telling me a loan officer that's doing a traditional loan had somebody approved, but since October 3rd, I believe it is, or 1st, whatever, that TRID comes into effect, they're no longer qualified?
That's correct. He had five or six clients that happened to. They were in the process, and they were getting all their paperwork in. They were totally qualified under the old system. Now that TRID came in, none of those five are now qualified. He works for Summit Funding.
Okay.
And he also works with Academy Mortgage, which many people have heard of. And the rules and restrictions are so much greater now that it's making it even more difficult for people to get loans on homes. And so your program is at the right time, at the right place, because seller financing is king right now for if people want to own a home.
That's so true. But, you know, I would inquire about that or talk to another lender, because TRID is basically a new way of lenders having to disclose closing costs. It's not anything to do with, like, their credit requirements changed or their debt ratio changed or anything like that. All TRID is, it stands for Truth in Lending Act, RESPA, Integrated Disclosures. And it has nothing to do with whether or not a person qualifies to get a loan. All TRID is a new way of handling TILA and RESPA as far as disclosures go. So I don't understand why a lender would tell you a person that did qualify before no longer qualifies. That doesn't make sense. So I would just check that out if I were you.
Okay, I will then.
Yeah, or maybe ask another lender, you know, call up a mortgage broker or something and say, here's what a lender's telling me. Does this make sense to you? You know.
Okay, I will.
I don't know. Maybe it means they have to go through the disclosure process again. That's the only thing I can think of, but that wouldn't change whether or not the person actually qualified for a loan. That just doesn't make sense. Anyway, I didn't mean to take up too much time on that, but since you mentioned it, I wanted to bring it up.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that because I didn't know what that was. So that you answered my question by clarifying that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Tarit hasn't tightened underwriting guidelines, though. You're right about that.
Say that again?
I said Tarit has not tightened underwriting guidelines, so you're very correct on what you said, Larry.
Yeah, TRID has nothing to do with whether or not a person can qualify. It's just the disclosure process. That's all it is.
Correct.
Hmm.
You're correct.
Well,
yes.
That's interesting because, I'll find out for you, Larry, and I want to share so we all know, too.
Oh, yeah,
what
that
I
would
said,
be good.
Because I'm explaining what he said to me. He had 5 clients, and no longer any of them qualify under the new process.
That doesn't make sense
wow.
to me.
Huh. Yeah. So
maybe he
I'd be interested to find
right.
out what's going on. Yeah. I'd like to hear about that. So, yeah, I'd be interested
okay.
to see what they say.
Yeah,
okay,
let us know next time.
Okay. I will.
There's a lot of institutions, lending institutions out there.
Oh, yes.
Because actually, FHA's dropped their credit requirements. I think they're down to 580 now.
Yeah. Or even less, I think, if you put they have another program where you can put more money down and, get down. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have one lower than that. But
yeah, that was just an FHA. Now the lenders that I was talking to, they're keeping their credit requirements around 600, but I found some that will go as low as 580 on an FHA loan. But, yeah, each lender is slightly different. They have different in-house programs. But, yeah.
That's true.
They're loosening up some of their requirements that I'm seeing,
yeah,
at least in my area.
Exactly. That's good. That's a good point.
Down there in Gaffney, do you go to the same lending institution that you've been using, or do you switch up and use different ones?
I have about 3 lenders that I refer everyone to. I say Gaffney. I cover 2 different markets, but there is a couple of lenders I use here. I try to rotate the 3, but yes, I've been using those same 2 or 3 guys for several years.
Okay, great.
I've gotten away from the big Bank of America's, the Wells Fargo types, and going to more like regional lenders. There's a Benchmark Mortgage here, folks like those guys, mortgage broker types instead of the big banks like I used to use.
That's good.
Got it.
That's good. Yeah, it's always good to have a good relationship with a lender or 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly right. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, I got a question. This is Ryan down here in Arkansas.
Hey, buddy.
So I'm not sure if I should, I'm kind of having an issue of what I should do with this property because I have it under contract. I don't know if I should wholesale it, rent it, or sell or finance it. Because I spoke to the listing agent and also some other agents in the area, and, they were saying I could sell or finance it for – one said I could sell or finance it for 45, another one said for 55, and then, I looked at some comps online, and, a house sold 2 miles away for 65 back in August, and it's the same, square footage almost, bedroom, bath.
Was it a conventional sale? Meaning they went, it was either a cash sale or they went and got their own mortgage loan?
I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure. It says, no, it's probably, I'm not sure if it was traditional or not.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, well, I'm in it because I'm in it at 15, and it only needs about, basic paint and flooring before it's move-in ready. And, I'm not sure what to do with it yet.
Yeah. Well, if it just needs paint and flooring, you're in it for 15.
Yeah.
All right. So what are your plans? Are you going to keep the note or are you going to sell the note?
I was planning on selling the note.
Okay. Well, let's just see here. You're talking about what were the other comps?
There was one that sold in August for 65. Another one sold in May for 87.5.
Oh, wow.
Another one sold in May for $90. That was 3 miles away. One that sold.
Let's just say you could sell it for $59.9, okay?
Okay.
Does that
that's
sound reasonable?
Yeah, that does.
And my phone has about 2% battery left, so I hope I can get through these numbers. Payment's going to be $494. If you sold it at a 15% yield, you'd cash out $37. If you sold it at a 20% yield, you would cash out, let's see.
Are you on the analyzer?
No, I'm on my financial calculator. You'd sell it for $29. So let's say you sold it for $59.9, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you finance $54.9. You sell that note at a 20% yield, worst case scenario, because it's kind of a filthy riches deal. Maybe not. But now, are you going to do any work to it? Or are you going to put the floor covering in it, or are you just going to sell it as is?
No, I'll just do the painting, flooring, and that's it.
Okay, how much do you think you're going to have in this property total?
At most 22.
Okay. All right. So you could sell that note at a 15% yield for 37. Okay.
Mhm.
So 22, 32. Okay, and 37. All right. So that's 15,000 right there. Plus the five you got down, you're gonna make $20,000 on the deal. Even if
right.
you have to sell it for a 20% yield for 29, you got 7 plus 5, that's 12. You're going to make 12 on it if you had to sell it at a 20% yield. And the only reason I even figured the 20% yield is because it's such a low-priced property that, you know, maybe you might have to do that. I don't know. But if you're able to sell it for $59.9, it's probably a decent enough house. You could sell the note at a 15% yield. Does that make sense?
Right. Now, if I were to hold, now this is a HUD property, and if I were to wholesale this, what I'll do, get it under contract, which I already have it under contract, and then start advertising, marketing to the
when
other cash buyers.
When did you get it under contract?
Today, Monday, Friday.
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Have you put out your 20 bandit signs all around the neighborhood and on that side of town?
No, I haven't.
Well, what are you doing to market it?
I've sent out some email blasts to some people I met at the RIA group.
Oh, man, you got to jump on this thing. This is a HUD house.
Right.
You need to get you some signs out tomorrow.
Okay.
Even if you got to go to banditsigns.com and then call them and say, how quick can I get me some signs out here? And you're either going to wholesale it or owner finance it. If you're going to wholesale it, Get the signs that say foreclosure on them with an arrow. If you're going to owner finance it, get the signs that say owner financing. Okay?
Okay.
And then just dive on it. Go get it. Just order about 25 signs. All right?
Okay.
And
okay.
Ship to you really quick. Or go find a local sign company and just get some blank signs. Say, all I want is just a blank 18 by 24 sign and 25 stands. And then you just take a big magic marker and write on it, foreclosure, 3-2, or whatever,
Right.
Deep discount, cash, or if you're going to do owner financing, write owner financing on it. Just that way, so you can get them out tomorrow, man. You got to jump on this thing.
Right.
Because you don't want to be sitting on it, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you need to get your signs out tomorrow, get your ads on Craigslist going. And start fielding calls and get this baby sold so you can line it up. Now, if you're going to wholesale it, get your buyer lined up to buy it the same day from you.
Right.
If you're going to sell or finance it, and if you don't have the money to close, get your note buyer lined up ready.
Okay.
So you use your note buyer. Use their money. All right?
Okay. All right, sounds good.
All right, cool. Good. Did that help?
Yes, it did.
Great. All right, cool. Who else has a question?
That bandit sign, is that where you got that one where it says owner financing with the arrow?
Yes, sir.
Get that off of bandit signs?
Banditsigns.com. You just tell them you want You want the sign that Larry Goins uses. They'll know what you're talking about.
Okay.
That's all you gotta
got
to say.
Got it.
That's all you got to tell them. They know who I am. I order hundreds of them from them.
Wow. That's
thousands.
It.
Yeah, I got one room in my office where Paul is. You guys know who Paul is. It's he's got boxes of signs stacked up halfway to the ceiling. So so they know who I am. You just tell them you want the ones I use. They'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
You can even put my number on it if you want to. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions here tonight once we got all the technical difficulties straightened out.
Okay, Larry, this is John Jackson, Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
A wild card question. Given the real estate market now, what is the median price range of homes I should be looking at to purchase in terms of value to purchase value to resale?
And where are you buying?
I'm buying in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. And what are you doing with them?
I'm going to sell or finance.
Okay.
One of my realtors tell me that we could turn it in 2 weeks.
Your realtor is telling you what?
We could sell the home in 2 weeks on seller financing.
Is this the house they've countered at 30?
No, this would be any deal that I could pursue.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what price range is he telling you you could sell in 2 weeks?
We're looking at homes from 70 and below. And my bid price would be around 20 to 30, possibly.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, that's very similar to the model that I'm doing. We look at stuff listed 90,000 or less, and if we're going to wholesale it, we want to pick it up cheap enough to where we can sell it under 50. In fact, I got a deal that right now that I'm selling for, we're in it for 23.9. We're selling it for $59.9, but I got a guy that offered me 35 cash, but I countered it 40 cash.
Okay.
So, you know, you can always take a discount if you get cash. This guy actually came by and looked at it and called us, and he's an investor, and he owns five other houses in the neighborhood, and it's a double wide.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, he offered me 35 cash. Well, he actually offered me 30, and then he came up to 35, and I said 50, and then I said 40. So,
okay.
But anyway, yeah, I that's pretty much the same price range that I'm playing in right now. We picked up one today for 21. We got one on Friday for 24-something, 24.3 or something like that. And, you know, picked up another one last week for 28, I believe it is. And we're selling all these for 59.9, 79.9, around in that range.
Okay. And are you putting any repair into it or just as is?
Well, it kind of depends. I guess what I should say is when I said I'm picking them up for that, yeah, that is what I'm picking them up. But, you know, my good rule of thumb is, you know, if I pick it up for 25, but I got to put 5 in it for repairs, my all-in is going to be 30. So I want to sell it for 60 plus 10, 69.9. If I pick it up for 20 and I got to put 5 in it, so I have 25 in it, I'm going to sell it for two times that, or 50 plus 10, so I'm going to sell it for 59.9.
Okay, same ratios hold.
There you go.
Okay, I got you.
Excellent. Let me know how it goes.
I will do. Thank you.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yes.
A quick question.
This is Amin from Boston.
Hey.
Hey, how did the seller financing seminar go this weekend?
It was excellent. We had right at 100 people there, and it was a really good event. It really was, and everybody seemed really happy. It was a very intense event. I mean, I was training. Wendy from my office was training. Paul from my office was training. And I also had two RMLOs there and servicers there. And we recorded the event. It was really good. And, in fact, people didn't want to go out of the room, you know, to take breaks or anything like that. I mean, they didn't want to, because I didn't have any breaks. The only breaks I had was lunch. And I remember, like, on Saturday morning, I spoke from 8:30 till noon, 3.5 hours without a break myself. And just pure content, no selling, you know, no other outside speakers coming in. But it was really good. I think people got a lot out of it. We got a ton of testimonials anyway from people saying about how they liked the event. So thanks a lot for asking.
Okay, and it's recorded and it's available for sale, right?
It will be. It's going to be probably 2 or 3 weeks, but yeah, we got to get everything finalized. But yeah, we're going to be offering it, and I think for the first while we're going to offer, you know, the raw, unedited version with everything, so you don't miss anything. For I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same price as the attendees paid, $4.97. You know, but after that, they'll go up. But we're going to offer it for $4.97, I believe is what it is. But it was a really good event. We had a lot of good compliments. And, you know, I mean, we had RMLOs there talking about how they are able to help people to qualify for through Dodd-Frank and all that stuff, and, you know, how to sell the notes, and even on the secondary market, how to pledge your notes as security and all kind of stuff. It was really good. But we'll let you know about that as well. We'll be sending out emails about it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, where are you finding your most success in acquiring properties? Is there one source that jumps out, like you met HUDs, REO properties, off-market properties? Is there one source that kind of stands out as your most successful right now for acquiring these deals?
I'm going to say HUD and REOs are just about even. They're probably about 80 to 90% of what I'm doing. And the other, you know, 10 to 20% is, you know, off-market properties.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Still doing, you know, I think I probably, I think it's 18 deals we have now. Of those deals that we have on the board, I think only a couple of them are with individuals. The rest are either HUD or REOs.
Okay.
So,
and now you're bidding on these. I've been trying to go after the REOs. I just have not had much success with them. It just doesn't seem like the lenders, REOs I'm going after, that the asset managers are taking those deep discounted offers I'm presenting, so I'm probably going to need some assistance on that, I think.
Well, you know, and not necessarily are we making deep discounted bids on all of them. I mean, yeah,
okay.
Like we picked up a HUD today, I believe it was, the $21,000 deal, and it was listed for almost twice that. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, I can't believe it. That's a steal. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've got two deals on my board right now that I paid over list. I paid more than list price. I mean, one of them, it was listed for 41 and I paid 45. And
is that because it's just in a hot market or a hot area?
Well,
what's
you know
reason?
What? It's kind of weird. I mean, it was a HUD house. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. 2,300 square feet, and it's a modular house, brick underpin, and it's move-in ready. I mean, Riley in my office, he asked the agent, you know, well, what kind of work does this house need? And she said,
mm-hmm.
it just needs curtains. You know,
wow.
and it already has plantation blinds, so it don't even
wow.
really need curtains. And the way we got it was, you know, he saw it, and it wasn't even available to investors yet. But the
mm-hmm.
day it became available to investors, he called the agent, and the agent said, look, I already got three other investors bidding on this house. You know, this house is in good shape. I can turn around and retail this house for you for, you know, 80 or 90-something. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think the last time it sold, it sold in the low 100s. So we bid 45.6, and I believe it was 45.6. And got it, and we're selling it for $99.9.
Wow.
We're going to try to get 10
a home
now,
run.
At least.
Yeah.
You know, if not, we might.
And you're going to owner finance that one?
We're going to owner finance it, and we can either sell the note or we can keep the note, you know. Either
what
one.
Sort of terms
no
are you putting in your
there,
notes?
There are note buyers out there, you know. I'm working on putting together a list of note buyers, but there's note buyers out there that'll buy these.
Well, that was my question to you. How are you structuring your notes to make them attractive to note buyers? Is there a rule of thumb you're using, or is it case by case, or can you give me a little guidance on that?
Yeah,
when you set your notes up,
the shorter term and the higher payment you can make it, the less discount you have to take.
Okay.
In other words, if you can do a note for 10 years. You can get more money for it selling the note than if you financed it for 20 years or if you financed it for 30 years. So, but I'm doing mine
sense.
With these higher priced properties. I'm
mm-hmm.
doing mine for 20 years at
9%. 20 years at 9?
20 years at 9. You don't want to go over 10 because 10 is about as high as you can go according to Dodd-Frank. So
you kind of get up into the high cost. What,
yeah,
is that
yeah.
the threshold
and I don't
the high cost?
Do that, so I'm staying off that at least a point.
Okay, it's good to know.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Is you know 9% in 240 months. Now I know guys
okay,
are going
yeah.
up for 30 years, but you know it's a lower payment, and you can't sell your note for as much.
Okay. You said you're putting together a note buyer's list at some point, though?
I am working on that. It's going to be a little while because there's a lot of them out there. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working on that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. Anybody else have a question? Well, you guys have had some really good questions tonight. Good stuff.
Yeah, I have a question, Larry. This is Amin again.
Hi, sir.
I'm looking at a house. Now, the agent tells me that it had been vandalized. If I get it under contract, what can I do to prevent that from happening?
If you get it under contract?
Yeah.
Well, there's not really anything you can do about that happening while it's under contract because it's not your house yet. However,
okay,
as long as you know the condition it's in when you get it under contract, mm-hmm. and as long as you check the condition just prior to closing, if mm-hmm. that house is vandalized between the time you get it under contract and just before you close, then you can either back out of the contract or renegotiate the contract.
Okay, now is there anything I can do to prevent that from happening while I'm trying to sell the house?
While you're trying to sell it, you mean
while
it's under contract?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the scenario I just described is, you know, you can't go out there and change the locks or, you know, board it up or anything like that if you don't own it yet.
Yeah, I meant when I own it.
Oh, after you buy it, own it, and it's paid for. Is there anything you can do to prevent vandalism?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have the house in my name and I'm trying to sell it.
Okay.
How can I prevent this unfortunate circumstance?
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Is there any specific type of vandalism you're talking about?
Since this house, they took the refrigerator and stove.
Okay.
I think they cracked the windows.
Okay.
Like that.
They cracked the windows, so that's outside. There's a couple of things you can do. You can get some wireless. You can get some wireless cameras
mm-hmm.
and put up.
Mm-hmm.
If you own it. You can turn the electricity on and get internet service,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have cameras placed in the house and that are motion sensor triggered, and they also have voice on them as well. I believe Samsung makes one for that. But if you just Google security cameras, wireless security cameras, you'll find them and you can place them around the house. The other thing you could do is you could buy some cheap dummy cameras and place them outside the house, around like all four corners, and then put signs up that says, you know, video surveillance, security system, mm-hmm. video surveillance, and that sort of thing. That's another thing you can do.
Yeah.
Now, just to let you know, we don't do any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We do have a house going on right now that we have it under contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent a potential buyer out to look at it, and they told us that it had been vandalized. So now we're renegotiating with the bank again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is the bank going to work with you on that?
Well, they know it was vandalized after we got it under contract. So they'll either let us out of the contract if they won't lower the price.
Cool.
Yeah. Because they know, you know, they know that... they know that, you know, it's a different condition than what we bought it under or got it under contract under.
Larry, to kind of coattail on that, after you take possession of the house and close on it and it's yours, are you putting insurance on these properties?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, because that was a question. I've got one local insurance company that will cover these. They're a little expensive. Do you have any recommendations, or do you have a list of companies you may could recommend to contact for those types of unoccupied properties that include vandalism insurance?
Yeah, I use NREinsurance.com.
NRE?
NREinsurance.com, which is the affinity group.
Okay.
NRE is the National State Insurance.
Okay, good.
But it's called Affinity. And that's
Affinity. Okay. Good.
All right, cool.
Affinity.
Hey, Larry, I got a question again about the owner finance, the seller finance property.
Okay.
How would you structure that deal with, let's say you're going to seller finance it to an investor who is going to fix it out and rent it out? I mean, how would you structure that? Because I'm in it at 15. How would I seller finance it to an investor who's going to
How would I structure what deal?
Like whenever you're selling it to another investor who's, you know, going to owner finance it, fix it up, and then they're going to rent it out themselves or do whatever with it. I mean, how would you, you know, structure that, you know, that contract with them? I mean, what would I sell it for? I mean, it for 15.
Well,
you know,
I think it would depend on, are you going to keep the note or sell the note?
Sell it.
Well, if you're going to sell it, what you need to do is back in to the deal, okay? What you would have to do is figure out what you could sell it for, run a few different scenarios on the financial calculator and see, okay, if I sold it for, you know, $49.9 and got five down and financed $44.9, you know, run those numbers and make sure that there's enough spread there for the rent versus the payment. So if you sell it to an investor, there's a little spread there that they can, you know,
right,
a bit of cash flow. And then figure
right
out, okay, if I sold this note at a 12 or a 15% yield, how much would I be selling it for? And then subtract what you're in the property for from that. And then you would know exactly how much money you're going to make when you sell the note.
I got you.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So there you go. Awesome. Anybody else have a question? Well, guys, you guys have been awesome tonight. You guys had a lot of really good questions. And just remember that even if you have questions between now and the next call, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Don't hesitate to email or call me. You can email me, larry@larrygoins.com. Just put Inner Circle in the subject line or call the office, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you. When you call the office, just press 0 and ask for me, and be sure and tell them you're an Inner Circle student. If you want to talk to me, you got to tell them you're an Inner Circle student, because that's the only people I talk to, typically. So, hey, I really appreciate your business, and it sounds like you guys got some deals out there going on, and I'm really excited about that. Be sure and follow up with me and let me know how that goes. So, with that, if nobody has any more questions, I appreciate you guys being on here. We had a really good crowd, and we were on here quite a while tonight, so I hope you got all your questions answered, and we appreciate your business, and let us know if we can help you with anything. So,
thank you, Larry.
With that, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Thank
you.
Good
night.
Bye-bye.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for calling Shah Glam. Please leave a message and we'll get right back to you.